What's up, everybody? Jesse Ziegler here in the Cycle News studio for a new edition of Dakar Rally Daily Show. Quinn Cody's still at home, recovering well from his COVID diagnosis, but he's hanging in there. Say hi, Quinn Cody, so everybody knows that you're kicking it.
Hi. Hi, guys. I'm here. I'm home. Just about over this stuff. We're probably going to go get a test today and hopefully get a negative result and go back to work, come back to the studio, and yeah, get back to normal life.
Get you sounding better. You still got this home studio set up. You just don't sound as good as I do.
I know. I don't have that deep Ziegler.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
mic'd up.
I got a face
up tone.
I got a face for radio and a voice that this microphone makes sound super cool.
Yeah.
I got it all tuned up to make me even cooler looking, sounding, not looking. I don't look cool.
I've got my Bose headset with my little inline microphone here.
Well, you getting some Bose sponsorship money you didn't tell me about?
Yeah. You're getting side sponsors.
That's not fair because we have real sponsors. Climb.
We do.
Climb Dakar Rally Daily Show. You're listening to it because Climb stepped up and they are title sponsor of the show this year and probably forever because we're doing such a good job for them and they do such a good job for us that I don't see why it would ever change.
I mean, I think we should just sign a lifetime contract with them now and then, yep. You know, we can run it. We can just do podcasts all the time.
Right. We could start.
Talk about stuff.
Yeah. Climb stuff. Go check out climb.com. Go to your dealer. Try on some gear. It's off-road riding season in the southern states. Southwest is firing right now to get out in the desert and do some riding. You should be doing that in climb gear. Or if you're planning an epic adventure trip in the next year. Oof, you want to talk about adventure riding gear. Holy crapoli. These guys make it all.
For sure. The adventure stuff, I love it. You know, just keeping... like I said before, I've got a set, I think it's 6 years old, a set of Badlands adventure stuff. And yep. Man, it's still trucking. It's it's, you know, I can't wear it out. And it's my go-to when it's cold and nasty out.
Yeah,
sure.
Gore-Tex. And I think you're in like a 3 edition old Badlands jacket.
I think
and
it's
pants
more
set.
Than more than 3 editions old.
Yeah, they update their stuff.
I can't even imagine the new stuff is going to be so much better.
Yeah, lighter, more flexible. I know it fits, you know, a little more refined fit, but still like super comfortable for those long days. So get yourself some climb gear and go have an adventure. That's the end of story there. Also today, another good adventure tool and another one of our sponsors, our presenting sponsor today, the good folks at Rally Navigator. Quinn, talk about Rally Navigator because it's software where you build road books, plain and simple. But you could actually have your own event. You could, you know, encourage your friends to go do a rally route with you. How cool is it for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really kind of changed the game as far as rally goes, you know, in the last 10 years. I mean, when I started with doing, you know, road books and rally training and stuff, it was you either did a hand-drawn road book or, you know, there was one guy, Scott Whitney, who was making road books and he had some cryptic software that he had built,
yep,
you know, in his garage and he was making these special road books and you couldn't just go make a road book. Mm. And when the Rally Navigator software came out, it just changed the game because it made it easy to make road books. You could go on, you could look at Google Earth, it had a, you know, there's a drag and drop menu where you can drop the symbols in, you can change the angle of the roads, you can,
it's really easy to use
in there. Super easy to use.
I mean, I did it and I'm basically illiterate on rally.
Yep. And I would use it for all my rally trainings. I would train guys and, you know, take them out on my road books and, you know, I would have like small groups to get together and do a training. And so you'd have 5 or 6 guys and you can print the road books. You know, you can print them page by page or you can print them on a big roll. Mm-hmm. They've really done a good job to make it accessible to a kind of an average person.
Right. There's a basic free membership you can get. If you want to learn more, sign up at rallynavigator.com. You can do all the stuff. You can play with it. You can subscribe to a premium membership for $50 a year, and that gives you basically everything you would need in the world. Full resolution GPX tracks. You can do direct to PDF roadbook printing if you wanted to print them out. You can import GPX tracks to create a roadbook. Like if you did a cool ride and you're like, this would make a cool route, I'm just going to import that, and it'll just make a roadbook out of your previous ride. Lots of cool things. If you do end up building a road book, it's not fun to do alone necessarily. It's really fun to take your friends out and try to get them lost on the road book you created. They have a mobile app. So if you don't want to buy all the roll charts and things that hold the paper, they have a mobile app that's free that all your friends can download. And then you can share your road book with them digitally. So they would have a digital version of the road book that they could, you know, you mount their phone or their iPad on their bike or in their truck or in their Jeep, wherever you're taking your friends, and they can follow the road book, or you can just play with it that way. Check it out. It's super cool. It's
super cool. And I think the iPad thing has really kind of opened it up even to another level, because you don't need all of these road book readers and you don't need an odometer and a cap repeater.
It's all built in.
The mobile app's all built in. So you mount an iPad to your, you know, to your handlebars on your bike, and you can go out and ride a road book.
And there are rugged tablets out there. There's tablet mounts all over the place. I know Jimmy and the guys out in Pahrump have been experimenting with those. And in fact, 2023, the race is going digital for the motorcycles with the road books, I believe. So it's the future.
For sure. And, you know, the other thing is kind of not the way the software is 100% designed, but I use Rally Navigator for mapping, just to plan all my dual sport rides and my adventure rides. If I want to go explore something I've never ridden before, I go in there and I just draw a track across the desert where I want to go or where I think I can go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I download the GPX file and plug it into my GPS, and I have a perfect track that I want to go explore. So for dual sport guys, adventure guys, it's a great tool to be able to just plan your rides. And, you know, and I don't think there's a better software out there. I mean, I've tried everything. I use Google Earth. I use all these different apps and really Rally Navigator. When I want to plan a adventure ride or a GPS ride, dual sport ride quick, I go straight to Rally Navigator and bust it out.
Yeah. Easy to find more information. You can get a free account, and then you'll be updated via email on any updates and, you know, status that's going on there. Or you can just follow their thread on ADV Rider, and they will post everything there. So check out Rally Navigator. Double Take Mirror and Giant Loop are our supporters as well. Today at the stage of the rally race, we got some big news today. We just finished up stage 5. There's a lot of drama and chaos going on out there, but the big news headline is Danilo Petrucci, Tech 3 KTM Factory Racing MotoGP racer, won stage at Dakar. The first MotoGP guy ever to win Dakar stage.
Yeah, and a rookie.
And a rookie.
So this is pretty mind-blowing to me. It's, you know, that this is kind of the year of the rookies for Dakar. You know, we've seen Petrucci and Mason Klein just up there mixing it up with the best guys in the world. And I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and let's be completely honest. Internally, Quinn and I have had a lot of conversations about MotoGP Petrucci coming to race Dakar. We weren't 100% confident in his performance abilities.
I never in a million years thought that he would knock off a stage win. I was completely
which shows completely you what we know. Yeah,
his
which,
performance so far.
Yeah, so our in-house road test editor at Cycle News, Rennie Skaysbrook, has been trying to get on the show. Yesterday we couldn't get him on because we had so many people backed up on those epic phone pit conversations, but I think maybe on the rest day we'll bring Rennie in, because he's got a lot of, you know, MotoGP experience. He's the road racing guy around here, and we can talk to him about Petrucci and sort of his experience that he knows about. But yeah, a great day for him. He did get the win today after a penalty was applied to Toby Price for speeding. So he technically on the clock won after a penalty. Toby Price finished the stage in the provisional first place, but then they dinged him with a, was it 9 minute penalty?
6 minutes.
6 minute penalty.
So yeah. Yeah, so my pick yesterday, Toby Price, did go out and win the stage.
You're not going to get the win. You're not getting the win.
But nope. And this is new this year. You know, in years past, the penalties were always added to the general classification. So your total time and the stage finish always stayed the same. But now, since they've added this to the FIM World Rally Championship, each day is a separate result.
Right. Think of it as a motocross season. Each day is a points earning race.
Like a moto.
Yeah. Yep. You're earning points every day.
It's a points earning event. And so they have to basically give results based on penalties and everything per day. So in years past, this wouldn't have happened, but now with the new FIM World Championship Series being added to the Dakar, Petrucci gets a stage win.
Yeah, well deserved too. He started pretty far back, 23rd today.
I believe he started 15th.
Oh, 15th today. Sorry, yep. That was Mason that started 23rd today. Yep. Yeah, he started 15th today. The navigation's getting, I would say, harder to follow because the terrain is drier. So he had to work a little harder today. He had to nail some navigation points. He still had plenty of people to quote unquote follow out there, but he had to put some fast times down between these checkpoints. And yeah, he climbed up, you know, pretty consistently all day.
For sure. I mean, you know, super impressive. And, you know, I think finishing second, Ross Branch is also another good one. He started just in front of Petrucci,
yep,
in 14th, and was able to get up there to the second place spot.
Yeah, Branch has been one of those victims of those early stage time losses, but really been putting that Yamaha in contention here later in the first week of the rally.
Yeah, definitely. And it's good to see the Yamaha up there. You know, we haven't talked a lot about Ross Branch. He's incredibly talented rider, so it's cool to see him getting up and mixing it up.
Yep, I got a quote from Ross right here. Let's hear from Ross how his day went and a little update on the race so far.
So, Ross, it's been a few days that you should wait for a catch podium, no?
Yeah, it's been a long rally for me. You know, I've had some ups and downs and some really bad navigational errors, so I've tried to fix that, and today it looked like it worked out. You know, I really got lucky at one of the waypoints. A couple of the other guys missed it and took a little bit longer to find it, so I was really lucky to find it as quick as I did. But yeah, I'm happy with the day and happy to be in one piece.
Okay, and what about your overall position? Is that not so bad?
Yeah, it's not so bad. You know, obviously I would have liked to have been a bit higher, but it is what it is, and we've just got to try and take a little bit of time every day, and if we can do that, then by the end of the rally we should be in a good position.
Okay, you say we, you also got two teammates. What about the team position or strategy? Is there something special?
Yeah, nothing special at the moment. You know, I think we're waiting for the second week. Adrian is doing an extremely good job at the front, and myself and Andrew had some bad days on day one and day two. So, you know, it is what it is, and we've just got to try and get as much time back as we can. And like I say, Adrian's doing a fantastic job at the front. So the team's pretty happy, and we're all in one piece. The bike's going well, and I think that's the main thing for us. You know, we really want to get to the finish line this year, and the team has put so much effort in, and I really hope we can get there.
Yamaha, much better position than they were last year, but the race is just starting to get to that grueling point where bikes and riders are starting to fall out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're starting to see some attrition. We've had a really, I would say, favorable first few days of the race. The weather's been really good. The dirt's been amazing. Mm. And, you know, guys can get away with a lot when the dunes are wet, when, you know, you can see the rocks, the conditions are a lot better, traction's really good. And I think as it starts to dry out, we're going to see guys, you know, we've already seen it. Guys are starting to crash. Guys are starting to get tired, fatigue. Bikes are fatiguing. And, you know, we had our first big kind of loss today, I guess, to the race. Unfortunately, Skylar Howes crashed out. He was able to make it to the finish of the stage, but you know, and he's okay. He's been checked out, and everything's good physically. Nothing broken, but he's definitely out of the rally.
Yeah, Skylar. We heard through the grapevine that he had a big crash, so I reached out to him, and he was messaging me immediately, but from the hospital. So the good news is, I guess, that he's not seriously injured. He doesn't have any, you know, broken bones. He's got a pretty serious concussion, as he says it, and that neck pain. He's got a bruised heel, but looking like nothing serious, he said, other than that. He did say that they just ran him to the hospital after he finished the stage. So he had a big crash. He doesn't remember the crash, but according to some people on the ground, he jumped into a big hole in a dune, and that was it.
Yeah, still finished ninth on the stage, but I think, you know, he came in and we saw a picture of his helmet, and his helmet was pretty pretty destroyed. And so clearly the medical team at the finish of the stage went and took a look at him, and it was pretty clear that he needed to go get checked out. So yeah, there's been a lot of things kind of evolving this morning since we got up and started taking a look at things. And yeah, you know, the first one obviously was the big penalty for Toby Price. When we first got going this morning, Toby was still in the lead. Yep. Still a stage winner. The other thing was that they stopped the stage for some of the back markers. They had apparently there was a dust storm and the helicopter resources were stretched thin, so they stopped the stage for some of the further back bikes and quads. Mm-hmm. And it's still kind of unclear on how that's going to affect the overall result.
Right.
I think ASO is working on that right now, and you know, it's a kind of a fluid situation that ASO's always adapting as they go. And so it is very possible we could see somewhat of a change to the overall result for today's stage, but you know, we're kind of adapting live as we go, and you know.
Yeah, it is. This is kind of what happens though later in the races. Talk about some crashes. We had reports yesterday that Sanders had a pretty good crash. He clipped a rock or something, and I think he's going to send us an update too here in a second. Why do you think we're starting to see some of those crashes? Other than the fact that it's a crazy race and crash can happen any day, obviously.
Clearly, the guys are pushing really hard. They're going really fast. And then the other thing is fatigue, just, you know, mental fatigue, physical fatigue. We're 5 days into the rally, and these guys I want to say they've been on the bike already race time over 20 hours and,
yeah,
you know, probably, you know, a good 40 hours of seat time total. So they're just getting fatigue, mental fatigue, paying attention to the road book. It's like if you look down at the road book in the wrong spot and you hit a rock, you're going to crash. And, it's part of the game for sure. I think Sanders had a pretty good one yesterday, smashed his face on the fairing. And then I think he had another one today. He was leading the stage all the way through, and then something happened to him, between the last
checkpoint and the finish.
Yeah. And the finish. So, and he lost a good, I don't know what, 10 minutes there. Yep. So 12 minutes. So he's, he's back a bit on today's stage anyway, and hopefully he's okay. And I think he's probably feeling a bit sore having two crashes in a row.
Also, Joan Barreda had a big crash today. You know, we're talking, yep, it looks like he's injured his shoulder. He made it to the finish, but he's going to like sleep on it, I guess, and let us know if he's going to withdraw or let the race know if he's going to continue for tomorrow. So, a lot of people crashing. I do have a quote from Sam Sunderland. So Sam's still in the race lead after today, provisionally. We don't know how this real results are going to shake out, but Sam has been minimizing damage to his lead every day and making up some time.
He finished 13th on the day, and he was just about 12 minutes back. So,
yep.
Be interesting to see how these guys kind of recover from the crash. And it's a war out there.
Yeah.
There's no question.
No. Let's hear from Sam Sunderland on the Gas Factory Racing team.
Hey, mate. One more day into the rest day. Keen as for that. Dude, was on the struggle street today. Took a digger yesterday and whacked my head pretty hard and done something to my neck and shoulder. So, it was not ideal, but that's desert racing, I guess. Sometimes catches you out. And I was searching for a waypoint in the off piste, and I like looking down at the GPS like to check the arrow had opened or not opened. And next thing, I'd hit a big rock and was out the front door. So not ideal. No rear brake and concussed out of my out of my head for a little while there. Just took it steady and then managed to latch on to Beretta for the last part of the stage. And as you can imagine, today I was still feeling a bit of the effects of that crash. Super sore neck and a bit foggy in the head. So tried to pay extra attention today to not have any more dramas. Was a difficult stage, pretty fast, and yeah, but looking forward to the rest day. And yeah, still leading the race doesn't really mean anything at the moment. It's only a short margin and so long to go, and as you see, the results change hugely on the daily. But on another side, I'd rather start there than start at the back, if you know what I mean. So always a good thing. So yeah, bummed to see Skyler take a digger today as well, and he's not too bad. I just checked a message, so I think he's just whacked his head, concussion. Well, it's not great, but nothing broken by the looks of it, so that's cool. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, some insight into the grueling nature of the race, I guess, coming to these guys pretty hard now.
For sure. You can see the fatigue. You know, it's different. Their voice is definitely different from the first couple of days where they were kind of upbeat and stoked on, oh, yeah, the conditions are great. We're ripping. We're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Where now they're, you know, I mean, how many crashes is that? We got, what do we got? Beretta, Sanders, Skyler, Sunderland.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones we know about.
In the last 2 days.
Clearly, I think Joaquin Rodriguez had a big one today.
Yeah, he did.
So it's, you know, it's that fatigue, and, you know, really it's going to come down to who's the toughest, who can handle the most punishment.
Also, it sounds like the race is getting into terrain that is more susceptible for those kind of crashes, like more stones. We're not talking just sand.
Yeah, I think dirt, you know, sand washes, and a lot of these sand washes look like they have kind of hidden rocks in them, and looks a lot like the California desert, or maybe a little bit like Mexico, where, you know, you're going down these fast sand washes and there's embedded rocks that are there, and at speed, a lot of times you don't even see them.
Yeah, you can see in the pictures that the terrain's changing from these epic dunescapes to, you know, stuff that looks like, you know, rock gardens that they're riding these guys through, and then that mixed stuff where it's sand and soil and rocks in there. After Ross in the standing, Nacho moved up into third after Toby's penalty. You know, he's in there pretty tight. And then Ricky Brabeck, fourth on the day after all that stuff shakes out, making some time up, creeping his way into the, you know, more of a contention spot. We have an update from Ricky, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think we got a...
Yeah, I do.
Clip, little voice clip from Ricky. He sent us a message this morning, so
let's
nice of him. He's sitting about 42 minutes back on the general classification. 48 minutes, excuse me.
Yep. Here's Ricky Brabeck.
Yo, what's up, Quinn? Yeah, the rally is definitely difficult. We pretty much fucked it up on the first day. Obviously, everyone at home knows this. Couple of us didn't make sense. Not just myself got lost, but I would say about 80% of the field. So that kind of set us back quite a bit. Unfortunately, as you know, it's hard to come back from this stuff. So we're doing our best and hoping for a better finish. You know, we're trying to make up as much as we can every day, little by little. But, you know, the things are going to start changing here. We're almost to rest day. People are starting to get tired, bikes are starting to get tired. You know, the first week's been pretty tricky. Now we're into the desert, I would say, more or less, where, you know, there's more rocks, hard tracks, what they would say, soil. So basically now we're getting to, you know, just more dirt, a little bit less sand. But yeah, everything's going great. The team's good. Really looking forward to being in more soil, more hard pack stuff, and more rivers. Not much is going down. That's super crazy. We're all still in it, which is pretty crazy, you know, being the fifth day right now. But yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Pablo! And then, yeah, we'll go from there, dude.
Well, he seems to be getting more comfortable in the terrain and, you know, seems to be pretty good spirits.
Yeah. I mean, you can clearly hear he's frustrated on that first day and having that big deficit to make up. And I mean, yeah, he's pissed for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the race and we're starting to run into the terrain that's a lot more like California. I think he'll become more comfortable with these sand washes and things like that. And, you know, we'll, if he's going to do anything to make up time, you know, it's going to be on other people's failures basically. Yeah. So I think he just has to stay strong and hang in there.
Stay consistent, fast, minimize mistakes and let the race come to him at this point. Right. As they say, let the race come to me.
Exactly. And just kind of in the same position, finishing right behind him, today was Toby Price and, you know, a real bummer for him to win the stage and then get a 6 minute penalty that moved him back to fifth place. Mm-hmm. You know, frustrating, I think when you have that deficit, that 30 to 40 minute deficit and you're trying to make up time and then you get useless penalties that are your own fault.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. And
Ricky got one yesterday, right? Another 2 minute speeding penalty.
Yeah, I believe so. And so he you know, Toby will be kicking himself for that one for a long time for sure.
Yep. Does set him up a little bit better for a starting position tomorrow, but you don't want to get a time penalty because that's just, just time that came from nowhere. You didn't want that.
For sure. And, you know, maybe just kind of, we should just recap the top five there. Petrucci.
Yep.
The rookie MotoGP rider first.
Yep.
Ross Branch, Monster Energy Yamaha rider, Africa, or Botswana, I should
say. Botswana, yeah. Botswanan. He's the Kalahari Ferrari.
Then Nacho Cornejo, Monster Energy Honda team in third.
Got a little 1-2 coming for Monster Energy Honda. Yep. Ricky Brabec in fourth. Shake and bake.
That's right.
And then our guy, Toby Price. Red Bull KTM Factory Racing, fifth place. Those guys I predict to be in the top five. But Mason Klein keeps surprising us by kicking ass every day. I guess we shouldn't be surprised anymore.
Yeah, I'm still surprised. I mean, it's impressive. You know, you look at his early results and you think, okay, well, maybe he got lucky on that one. He was able to ride from the back, he was able to follow tracks. But you know, when you keep consistently finishing up with the top guys, sooner or later, it's obviously it's not luck anymore. And you're
one of the top guys.
You belong there. Yeah.
Yeah. He finished sixth today. Mason did, 4 minutes out of the lead today. Started in, what did he start today? 23rd today. So he did start back, had some good, you know, people to follow.
It's so easy to make mistakes and screw up. And you see a lot more experienced guys making mistakes and just not able to put it together consistently. And Mason seems like he's just keeps chugging along. And I mean, I'm a bit at a loss for words for sure. Cause he's, you know, you look at the kid and he's not the picture of like this, you know, off-road racing champion. You know, he's kind of a skinny kid and just
doesn't
really
come
young. And,
he doesn't come in very intimidating.
No, for sure.
When he walks in.
He's not, you know, I mean, you see Ricky Brabec or Skylar Howes and those guys walk in and, you know, they're 6'2 and 220 pounds.
They can move mountains. Yeah.
Big, strong guys. And then, you know, Mason, I mean, he's tall. He's a tall, lanky kid, but he's definitely hasn't filled out yet. So, you know, hopefully physically he's doing okay and he's been able to kind of get his training up to where he needs to be able to withstand, you know, full 2 weeks of this.
What he seems to be doing really well is keeping his bike off the ground. And, you know, just riding pretty smart and, you know, not making those navigation mistakes. He's not getting any of those time deficits that, you know, other people are running into, seems like to me, all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
he's getting some here and there, but he's just riding it, man.
Yeah, you know, he's finished back in 35th and 23rd and stuff like that. But, it wasn't really due to a mistake. It was just more due to like the rhythm of the race.
Yeah. I mean, he was leading the race with Toby navigating out front for a while. So, and Sanders, and, you know, not doing a bad job. He did forget to get gas one time, but hey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, and I'm sure there's stuff that goes on every day that he's
learning about. You
know, he's learning and figuring it out, and it definitely would be funny to be a fly on the wall in that truck and see watch Mason getting his stuff together for the race. Cause I know my first time, man, I was a train wreck.
Just trying to fill your pockets with everything you might need that day and then forgetting half the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Losing your scorecard, you know, just dropping stuff, whatever.
Following behind Mason, on the stage today, Andrew Short right behind him. Then Kevin Benavides, then Skyler ended up finishing ninth. And then Michek from the Czech Republic. So rounding out the top 10. People that finished outside the top 10 today, Matthias Wagner, Luciano Benavides, Sam Sunderland. Those guys look like they lost a lot of time at the first waypoint, that little group right there.
I think Luciano, you know, he's kind of not really been a factor so far. I mean, he had a decent stage finish yesterday. I think it was his best stage finish.
Yeah, it was fifth.
It looks like they all kind of had a little bit of a struggle there, like you said, right in the beginning of the stage.
Yeah, really, and dropping down into the rankings and then having to claw their way back up.
Yep. So that group of, you know, Wagner, Benavides, and Sunderland all looked like they were pretty much riding together most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished back there, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th.
Yeah. Losing some time. Sanders was started 17th today, and he was immediately front runner all day through all those stages. He dropped down to second on one stage, but then at the very end, hit the wall, hit the deck, we think. And
yeah, I don't think he stopped on purpose this time.
He didn't have a picnic today.
I don't think he had a picnic. Maybe a dirt nap.
Maybe
but not a picnic.
Yeah.
He was he was leading basically at every time check and by a fair margin. And then at the last, just before the last waypoint, looks like somewhere in there, he dropped about 12 minutes, 40 seconds.
Yeah, it's a big drop.
And then at the end of the stage, ended up 21 minutes back.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he
had some issues at the end of the race.
Yeah, had an issue, had a crash or something. I reached out to him to see if he could send us a little clip on what happened. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see if we can get that in time. But
top guys finishing, you know, on the stage, outside the top 10, losing some time in the general classification. But really the general classification top, you know, three didn't shake up that much. We got Sam Sunderland still leading, as, you know, he mentioned. Doesn't mean a lot to him yet because one more day to rest day. Last half of the week or last week of the race is going to be huge. There's going to be a lot more drama, a lot more shakeups going on. Matthias Wagner is holding down second place. He's 2.5 minutes behind Adrian Van Beveren on the Yamaha. 5 minutes, let's call it 6 minutes, 5:59 behind. Daniel Sanders, even after losing a bunch of time today, he's still in fourth, 8 minutes behind. Then Luciano Santolino on that Sherco, he's 15 minutes behind. We got Pablo Quintanilla, Monster Energy Honda. He's the top ranking Honda at the moment. He's in sixth place, 16 minutes, 55 seconds behind. Ross Branch, the next Yamaha, he's 18 minutes behind in seventh place. We did get a sort of a anomaly on the results just happened. Aaron Murray on the Hero Motorsports team somehow bumped to the top of the stage standings today, pushing everybody down a position. But we think that's just a glitch because he wasn't in the lead at any of the time checks today. He started pretty far back. Doesn't really make sense to us. Even if they shorten the stage to a certain point, he wouldn't really be in contention for the lead. So we just think it's an error right now in the scoring. But Quinn, that happens sometimes out there, right?
I mean, it for sure happens. I don't see how it's possible, unless there was a major problem with his tracking unit and he was ended up actually leading all day and they had the wrong, information there on his tracker. But, and so that may influence the general classification. right now he's sitting in eighth, but you know, it's very possible that they could add back another 12 minutes to his time, which would put him back, you know, roughly in, I don't know, just outside the top 10.
Yeah. So, but bit of anomaly there. It does happen sometimes. These guys' tracking systems just stop working during the day, or they have an error and they have to go back and, you know, do their backup systems to find the actual time.
Yeah. Normally what will happen is like you'll see that guys don't show up at a waypoint and you'll be like, oh, they missed the waypoint or, mm-hmm. or something, you know, and then all of a sudden they show up at the finish.
Yeah.
And so that's usually what happens, but his was tracking all day. It just all of a sudden at the last, at the finish, it showed up with a 12 minute lead.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's accurate. I think that they're going to adjust that.
Yeah. So overall rankings probably, again, doesn't shake up much. People that gained a little bit of time today that are front runners. We're talking Ricky Brabec. He took a few minutes out of his deficit today.
Yeah, I mean,
really good for him.
I think in ninth, Kevin Benavidez, he's kind of right on the bubble for what you're going to be able to make up to be able to win this race.
Yeah. I had him picked to win today and it looked like he was going really well. And then, you know, he had some trouble at the end, lost quite a bit of time between the last checkpoint and the finish line.
Yeah. I don't know if there was a rider that crashed and he stopped and they're going to add back time, or if it's just, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the race.
Yep, exactly. And then Stefan Svitko in 10th.
Yeah.
He's definitely a veteran of the rally, Slovak rider, and pretty impressive. He always chugs along, and it looks like he's going to get himself another top 10 this year if he keeps cruising.
Very cool. Leading our American contingent in the overall rankings, Andrew Shorts in 12th general classification, and right behind him is Mason Klein in 13th. So really cool to see those guys, you know, knocking on that top 10. They're 34 and 36 minutes out of the lead respectively. So just, they got a couple more, you know, they got to get up there a little bit higher to really be in that contention, but we're one day away from the rest day, man. These guys sound like they're ready for that rest day.
Yeah. I mean, you're always ready for the rest day. It's difficult to get through the first week and be still healthy and fit and have everything working in your favor.
Yeah. Well, they're working their way there. Toby Price sitting in 14th overall, another notable, you know, contender. That 6 minute penalty for him actually drops him about, he's at 37 minutes behind. If he didn't have that penalty, he would be 12th. So a couple spots out there with that penalty today. And then J-Rod, you know, the Hero Motorsports team's first winner, he had a crash today. Sounds like he's pretty beat up, knocked him back down to 20th. In the overall rankings. So a little bit more shakeup's going to happen. And I think that's going to be the theme of the race for the next few days, is we're going to see, unfortunately, more guys fatiguing and bikes fatiguing and possibly crashing out.
Definitely. It's really important to get to the rest day with as much fuel in the tank as you can, so to speak, you know, have your batteries charged up and ready for the second week. And, you know, Skyler said it yesterday when we were talking with him, you know, really the race doesn't start till rest day. And, you know, you see he got caught in a trap today, and, you know, it's going to continue to happen for sure. And it's going to happen after rest day too.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to hearing the news about more people crashing out, but it is part of the race. Unfortunately, it happens, especially at the pace these guys are going and, you know, the navigation that they have to go through and look down while they're going fast. And it's just a crazy combination of danger and speed and skill out there that is respectful. Who do you got tomorrow with the shakeup today? How are you going to predict a winner tomorrow?
I mean, tomorrow's stage, it's going to be an interesting one because it's a long 404 kilometer stage. It's a loop through, I think, quite a bit of dunes. It's a lot of the same tracks that the cars drove today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very similar. It's going to be beat up, rough,
right?
You know, I mean, when all those cars side by sides and the big trucks go through, it's going to be a bit of a motocross track, really.
Yeah, but like not kind of a crappy one, one that's beat up and cross ruts. And like Andrew Short said yesterday in an interview, a lot of the time the course isn't exactly the same. So, you know, the bikes could be going cross rutting that stuff or cross green those courses or coming into them. And then that race course could be confusing to navigation because you're coming in and it says go right. And then all the trucks went one right way, but yours is a little different heading to the right. So tomorrow could be a big challenge.
I mean, those are always the most difficult stages is when you have to go on and off of existing tracks and really beat in tracks. So you'll be going along and there's a section of the road book and all of a sudden it'll say, take the piece to the left. And, but you're on a already like a rutted out beat in track and you have to basically leave the track to take a little small road.
That's less noticeable. Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, in your mind, you're just ripping and you're not paying attention a lot of times when you get on those really beat up tracks. So for sure, we're going to see some mistakes made there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is just, you know, I think that guys are going to be searching the bivouac tonight for info. They're really going to be kind of,
scouting from the car teams.
Like the old days. Yeah. Like the old days where you had the map man and you had the whole thing. I think that whatever info they can get from the car guys, they're going to be trying to figure out as much information as they can, because it's a challenging thing and we'll see how it all plays out for sure.
Yeah. We're definitely going to see how it plays out. It is 404 kilometers of special test. Ooh, I mean, that's not much shorter than the longest day of the rally.
Yeah.
Leading up to the rest day.
Second longest stage. It's going to be rough, beat up, physically demanding. So it's going to put these guys into the rest day, like just done, spent.
Yeah. Done and spent. Who do you have on your radar that's going to look to go into the rest day with a win? And who has got the best position to do that? And also, who is going to play some games?
Yeah, I don't know. The strategy games, I think, are stage out the window seven. At this point. I think they're just going to want to survive.
Yeah. You don't think anybody's looking forward to the stage afterwards already they're going
to
do tomorrow?
I think they're looking forward to the rest day.
Yeah, and that's as far as they're looking.
I don't think they give a shit about what's going to happen after that.
Because look at stage seven, it's another 400-kilometer special. It's 402.
For sure they have that in the back of their mind and the strategy and everything else.
There's some big days coming up.
I mean, if I had to pick a guy and...
You do.
I
mean, you have to pick a guy.
It's tough because, okay, Sanders had a big get-off today. Beretta had a big get-off. Those are your guys that typically can come out and really win stages with a lot of speed.
Sunderland crashed. You know, he's nursing a neck and shoulder sort of soreness.
Yep. We haven't heard from Sanders yet, so I don't know. I don't have any inside info into how he's feeling. But
yeah,
I'm gonna go with Toby Price again. I think he's gonna be pissed off at himself for getting that speeding penalty today, and I think he's gonna want to go out and try to win a stage.
He might, starting in fifth though. It's gonna be kind of hard to make up that much time and lead because he's going to end up catching a lot of those guys and he's going to have to really put
the
hammer down.
Following tracks a lot. So I think of those 404 kilometers, I'd say a good, 350 are going to be on the same track as the car. So
yeah. You pick Toby Price. I'm going to pick Kevin Benavides again. I don't know what happened to him today, but he's in a good starting position, I think, to win or Matthias Wagner.
Ooh, yeah.
12th spot. I think Wagner could come up.
All right. Well, we're going to see what happens. So I think that's a wrap for today.
Yeah. Best of wishes to Skyler as he recovers. I hope he, can get out of the hospital and relax a little bit and start feeling better as soon as possible. And we'll keep you guys updated. If anything else cracks through here, we'll just do an updated-ish episode today.
Throw a little update in there, and otherwise, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yep. See you tomorrow, everybody.